Want to bring Christian greetings to each one this evening. It's good to be here this evening. Stories and lessons are always a good way to learn. I had to smile this morning at the announcement that school is starting tomorrow. And I had to smile for a lot of reasons. One is that it's such an unnecessary announcement for all the ones that are involved. It's everybody, students, teachers, parents, you've been preparing for that, and it's really unnecessary. But for those of us that aren't as deeply involved, it's good to know. But the ones that are really involved, they already know that. But we do it every year. We do it every year. We say that school starts tomorrow or this week or Tuesday or whatever. And it's always it's a good feeling. There's a lot of excitement. You can just feel it in there. And it's an important time of life. I love that part. And it's a really important time. You know, Jesus put a lot of emphasis on teaching. And in our Sunday school lesson this morning, in Matthew 4, we have the first reference that Jesus was teaching, and it says there that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's the beginning of Jesus' teaching ministry. And then at the very end of the gospel of Matthew, we have him again bringing in this subject of teaching, but in a much more serious, even more serious tone than where he says, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so, you know, school to us is an important part. For most of us, it's very important, and it's for good reasons. Jesus considered teaching very important as well. In our recent trip out there to Oregon, we had the privilege of attending Western Teachers Institute, Western Fellowship Teachers Institute, and it was extremely inspirational for me, and I would really encourage the teachers, if you have opportunity to go out there. The format is very much like CMTI, but it is a much smaller group, and you have more time to interact with teachers, exchange ideas, and it was just a lot of pure inspiration. It was just a great experience. I used to tell Marcia when I'd go home from school that, you know, when I was teaching, we're going to look back at these years as some of the best years of our life. And we do, actually. And after that meeting out there, I felt, you know, boy, I'd just love to get back into classroom again. But I know I don't have the energy for it, so it's not an option. But the inspiration is there. And when I walk into the classrooms here, I just love to see all the things that they can learn and the lovely environment and the enthusiasm that the teachers have, and it's all great. But there takes a lot to make a school work, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that this evening. I'd like to tell you first a little story about another thing that we had the pleasure of doing on this trip, and that is to bone up a little bit on Indian history. I've been interested in that. And Black Kettle was a Cheyenne Indian chief that he lived in eastern Colorado. And he tried to make peace with the white man in the 1850s. He tried to make peace, and he he abided by a treaty that was made that he could live close to us, close to Fort Lyon, I think, or Fort Laramie. I'm not sure which one it was there. But anyhow, he couldn't keep his warriors under his leadership all the time. The Indians were kind of individuals, and they didn't always go by group feelings. Anyhow, and so some of the warriors caused problems for him, but he as a chief wanted to be peaceable and peaceful. And he traveled to meet some army officials one time, and one of them gave him an American flag. And they told him, as long as he stands under that flag, no soldier would ever shoot him or shoot at him. And so if you see some pictures and you see these some places, you see a whole bunch of teepees out and you see an American flag. Well, that was probably, it could have been easily his flag, you know, there if you're looking at the Cheyennes. And so he took that very seriously. And he always set that flagpole up outside of his teepee. And he told his fellow Indians what it was there for. But his counterparts were not quite as trusting. And at one point, they left the fort, went about 40 miles away, set up camp in what was called Sand Creek. And one of the generals that was out there to fight Indians, he sent a message to the army that he has a group of hostile Indians 40 miles away and he needs reinforcements and they're going to go out and destroy that camp. And they did. They went out there, went riding out there, and Black Kettle, as soon as the soldiers started shooting, he called his people to come to his flag, stand around the flagpole. And they did. But the soldiers many of them were drinking and unheeding. They were out there for vengeance. They wanted to kill Indians. And they just shot into the crowd anyhow. And so when that happened, he took his wife, grabbed his wife and left. And he survived that one. But there were dozens of them that were killed in that. And it's called Sand Creek Massacre. And then about 4 years later, he had another camp and he was killed on that one, in that battle then. Very much the same thing. But the thing that was interesting to me in that is that he was trusting in the flag. He was trusting in the white man's word. He was trusting that he had a safe place there for his people. And there were cultures that were colliding. But he thought he had a place of safety. And so that's what he was going by. And he should have had. If everybody's word would have been honorable, it would have been safe, but it wasn't. And sometimes, you know, we get caught into that as well when we think if we do the right things, we're going to have a place of safety. And it should be that way. But we must be on our guard because we're in a clash of culture and there is no really safe place. And while school should be a very safe place, it's still a time to be on our guard and to realize the dangers that are around us. We try to make the school a safe place. And I believe that there's a number of ways that we can do to create a safe environment. One is communication. I think that's a very important one, to be able to share goals, be able to share concerns, be able to share ideas without fear of being judged wrongly. I appreciate the children's lesson that Joseph gave. If we can have that freedom to share, it's going to help us go on in the long way. School is not the effort of just the teachers. It's not the effort of just the parents. It's not the effort of just the school board. But it's a combined effort of all. It's a teamwork. And we need to be on the same team or we're going to be not be as effective as we could be if we weren't. I'm just curious, how many here would have never gone to a Christian school, Christian day school? Okay. We have a few. I think those numbers are diminishing with time. If we would have asked the same question 20 years ago, there would have been many more hands. But, you know, we take for granted sometimes the things that have been sacrificed and bought very dearly. But it's also encouraging that momentum in the right direction gives us an extra boost there. But it takes a little different kind of work to maintain than it does to start. And I think it should be getting better with time. And I think in some ways it is. I know when I went to school, the curriculum was secular, but the teachers were Christian. And that's actually the most important part, because teachers have the most influence and they can weed out the curriculum. It's better, if you're going to choose between two, it's better to have a Christian teacher than to have Christian curriculum. But now we have the privilege of having both. And it helps a lot in having momentum in a good direction. But if we were to ask, the teachers what their goals are for this year in school, what they want their students to learn, we'd probably have some really good answers. If we'd ask the parents what they want their children to learn in school this year, we'd probably have some good answers too, maybe a little different ones. And if we'd ask the older brethren and sisters what they think the students should be learning this year, we might even have different answers. And I'm going to guess that they would all be valid. They would all be good answers. But they're all a little bit different. If we can work together and combine those differences rather than segregate them and think ours is the only way, we'll gain some ground. One of the things that was interesting to me we had a privilege to visit a museum in Walla Walla, and it showed some antique farm equipment. It showed a piece there that I've never seen before, and it was they called it a harvester. And it was, in essence, a threshing machine with a harvester attached to it. It had, on the one side of it, was a 14-foot header with a great big beam on it to counterweight it, and then a threshing machine that they actually pulled through the field with its own motor on it, and they had 33 mules pulling that. And they had the driver sitting way up high, and I don't know how you drive 33 mules, but they had it in as a model there, and they had life-size animals, but they weren't eating hay or anything. They were just standing there. But it took a tremendous amount of effort to put that together. But when you could think about, that was a huge contraption. It would be hard to turn around in a 10-acre field. It certainly would not work in the Ozarks. But the big, wide fields of Washington, I guess it could. But it took a tremendous amount of teamwork, compared to what they had at that time, where they would cut the grain, shock it up, put it on a wagon, carry it to the threshing machine. You know, it was a real time saver. This is just one pass through the field, and they already had their wheat bagged by the time they got over. And it was a tremendous time saver. To me, it looked very, very cumbersome because of, you know, we relate to combines with 30 and 40-foot headers going out there and cutting it all. But that's the way it is sometimes in school, where there is teamwork and where there is where there's a concerted effort in one direction, there can be good results and efficient learning. But when each goes his own way, it's really a slow experience. They say is the most brutal of all teachers, although experience is a very good teacher in the fact that we usually remember what we've been taught by experience. But I think it was C.S. Lewis that said experience is the most brutal of all teachers. So teamwork is going to be important in order to make a good school year. We're teachers, board, parents, and even students. We're all on the same team. We want you to get the best out of this school year that you can get. There needs to be trust, and where we trust each other to fill your responsibilities, that has to be in place as well. When that trust is broken, it needs to be built. You know, there is something about broken trust that is hard to put back. You can forgive, but when a trust is broken, it's difficult. But there has to be effort made there. Those are some intangible things that involve. And, of course, cooperation is included in that. I like that verse in Psalms where it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And I believe that that's a promise to all that are involved in eternal work, and that's part of the school there as well. There's an interesting verse that's very familiar to us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, where it says that, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Some years ago, I heard a minister use this as a text, and we've all heard it many times, I'm pretty sure. But he had a little different slant to it that he got from another reading of this. And I've got that here this evening. I think it's from Darby's translation, and that's a literal translation, incidentally. And so it says, "Train up a child according to the tenor of his way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And his point at that was to try to discover the bend that this person has and train him for that, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, most of us learn to like what we do, or we do something else. I should say it used to be that way. I think it's probably more that way than it is. But you know, when people badmouth their job, they say, "Oh, it's just a job," or you know, they're just there for the paycheck. They're there for nothing else. But they just it's just a job. I think somebody has failed along the line there, because we need to, whatever we do, whether it's construction, whether it's mechanics, whether it's farming, it's to the glory of God, and we should, we don't have to, I don't think it's required to enjoy every single part, but essentially we should be doing God has called us to. And I believe that this is one thing that we can do. You know, sometimes children have a tendency to, for some skill that we may or may not sense in their life, but if we can explore and find out what their strong points are, train them in that way, it says when he is old, he will not depart from it. Where there is no vision, the people perish is one of the, another line that we often hear. And I believe that that's also important, that we can see down the road and be able to have a goal set for what we would like our students to be. One of the things that, students, okay, now teachers, for example. Teachers are the connection that students have to the school, and the teachers are going to have some goals that they want their students to do this year. Maybe the younger teachers are going to, Miss Jessica, her classroom is going to learn to read if they haven't learned a little bit already. But by the time we have the school program next spring, those youngsters that didn't know, couldn't recognize words, will be recognizing words and they'll be reading. Others will know math facts that they didn't know before. Others will know how to diagram a sentence possibly or write an interesting composition. And maybe they'll learn history facts that they didn't know before. All of those are things that are important. But what the most important thing is simply learning how to learn. And that's what the whole school, our whole effort should be made to, should be geared toward that end. Learning how to learn. Learning the difference between what is important and what is not. Learning how to think. We can't learn everything by experience. We just don't have time. We're going to run out of time before we learn very much of anything if we depend on experience for everything. But we need to learn the difference between what is important and what isn't, and learning how to think and how to live our life for God's glory. You know, one individual can make quite a bit of difference. But one individual can't do their individuals add color and balance, but we must work as a team, and that's so important on working together as a school. One of the things that I appreciate about our school here is the school constitution. And I know we don't have many copies out, and there should be, and we need to get some more out there. But that clearly shows in a few ways, the responsibilities that teachers have, the responsibilities that parents have, the responsibilities of the board, and then the church as a whole. And I believe that when our policies are set like that, it can be an advantage to not have to make a decision every single time, but to kind of give us a guidance. And I know that in the past some of those have been overlooked, and we need to look at those a little bit more carefully. One of those ways is if there is a difference, a problem in the school, the ones that are involved need to talk first and get that cleared up. I think communication is extremely important in that. One of the things that I really enjoyed about our time out there in Halsey at the Institute was Brother Arnold Good shared a message with us in each morning, and his focus was on on shepherding, and whoever put the program together gave him a pretty narrow focus. The first morning was on the heart of the shepherd, the second morning was following the shepherd, and the third was feeding or nurturing, which, you know, at my first look, it seemed like it was going to be the same thing, but in reality, he had quite a bit of area to cover. But he emphasized the fact on becoming like the master in all that we do. And he was talking to teachers now, and so becoming more like Christ as we go on through life in our teaching experience. And I just had to think how beautiful that was, and we learned a lot. There was just really a lot of inspiration in there, even in Psalm 23 that we know so well. It was just really incredible to be able to take in all of that good. But in talking about the shepherd and the essence that we should becoming more like him, reminded me of that story that I love so well about Dr. Paul Brand when he was teaching his students, and when he was watching one behind a sheet, and his bedside manner and his words and his comfort reminded him so much of a teacher he loved well in school. Reminded him of one of his own well-loved teachers. And when he commented to the class about this, they told him that those mannerisms and those words were actually his own. And the fact is that he had copied his teacher so well that he was able to pass it on to his students almost exactly. To when he saw them, he saw his teacher in that. I thought it was a beautiful story of how, what we can do as our for our students to learn to be like the master, have that heart, and guide them in that way, and use our opportunities that we can for a positive influence for glory. I'd like to read just one verse again out of Jesus' last words in Matthew, where he says, that great commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Just Jesus was recognized as a great teacher come from God. We have that word of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where he says, "We know you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Focus especially on the fact that he told Jesus, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." And he was doing great things for them. He was working, in this case, one-on-one. But we have the benefit of his words here and the exhortation to us as Christians today is to teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing. Let's bow our heads for prayer.